You have the moves, man. they're dancing in the studio. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Very nice to have you with us on this Friday morning. And as we end this week, we have a lot to discuss and talk about, and we have a great panel to do just that. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce the group to you, and then we'll get started. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Yay!
How are you?
Well, you know, just hunky-dory.
Well, that's good.
Very nice. But I'm worried about the lockbox. So we just got a hysterical letter from somebody, Joe, who said, it's from Sue, who said, "Hi, is an open lockbox an oxymoron? Love you, just wondering."
Well,
you know, no. Yeah, I can explain it. Do you want me to do it or do you want to
do
it?
No, go ahead.
It's open for you to put your money in, but it's closed. You can't get in it till it's open. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, until we take the money out. So you can, it's available for deposits,
well,
not withdrawals. Right. Now,
right. So kind of like the Roach Motel.
Right. Right. Kind of like the Roach Motel. Rich Onan is here. He's a corporate attorney. He joins us this morning. We're delighted to have him with us.
Good morning.
Thank you very much, Rich. Also with his daughter, Emily, who is here.
Good morning,
Emily. And Barbara Smith is with us. Barbara Smith is an author and activist and with us each and every Friday, and we're delighted to have her here. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
All right. So, Alan, let's talk a little bit about the lockbox because we have to we have some work to do here. We currently, as of 9 a.m., which was a few moments ago, $348,353.07. Now,
so we got about $51,000 in 3 days. That's what we have to get in order to get the extra $10,000, but best to keep everything going around here. And we're just saying to everybody, this is it. It can't happen without you, right?
Now, that's right. Now, don't you think by the time we go to our break, we could be at $350,000?
Oh, I think by the time we go to our break, if you think about it for a minute, we could probably be there.
Right. Absolutely.
At 400,000, if everybody just marched, everybody just marched to the.
Rich will start dancing again. Go ahead.
Just everybody, yeah, right.
Well, it'd be great. So that's it. And so right now, we got to get it over by 350 by the end of the show.
Maybe when people are putting money in the lockbox just for this little period, right now, we could read their names.
Oh, that'd be...
and Raven, you know what I mean?
I don't know
and
if
say,
that's
this
possible.
This guy's a hero. This person's here. Well, though Ray takes them down there, you know, out the front. Not Ray Graff.
No.
Our other wonderful Ray.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So...
And they come in with the names.
All right. Well, we can pass this on and
we
maybe
could try it.
Maybe they'll be listening and we can do this. Well, that's a great idea.
I was going to say the same thing. Maybe they're listening out in front.
I'm sure they are. All right. So now we have work to do. But by the way, let us not forget the fact that the fund drive begins on Monday, June 6th, 6 a.m. It'll be Alan and Ray, and we'll be off to the races. But the more that's in that lockbox, we have $10,000 at stake if we don't get to the $400,000 point. So there is a lot at stake here.
And, Joe, as I always point out, that $10,000 is money, of course. It's a match, and that's very good. But it's done with love. I mean, when you think of everything that the people who are putting that $10,000 up, that's what's really important. It's not the $10,000. It's the love and the passion for the radio station that they feel, and I mean that. And that's why I love them so much.
Absolutely. So we certainly hope that you will take part, WAMC.org. And while you're there, roundtable at WAMC.org, you can check in on some of the subjects that we're going to talk about. And I promise you, we will actually get to the body of the program now. So here we go. We begin with Hillary Clinton, who made a major address yesterday having to do with foreign policy. And let me turn off my computer. There we go. She delivered it was supposed to be about foreign policy. It ended up just really being kind of a diatribe about Trump, but it did show many of the differences. The New York Times referred to it as a lacerating rebuke. To go on with their coverage.
Nice objective Times coverage there, huh?
Well, it was very pointed. Declaring that Hillary Clinton declared that Donald Trump was hopelessly unprepared and temperamentally unfit to be commander-in-chief. Electing him, she said, would be a historic mistake. Speaking in a steady...
And said, Joe... Yeah. And Joe said, and unqualified to have his finger on the button.
Well, that's right.
I love that.
That's right. And so speaking in a steady, modulated tone, but lobbing some of the most fiery lines of her presidential campaign, Mrs. Clinton painted Mr. Trump as a reckless, childish, uninformed amateur who is playing at the game of global statecraft. This is not something who should ever have the nuclear codes, she said, because it's not hard to imagine Donald Trump leading us into a war just because somebody got under his very thin skin.
Stating the obvious.
And you'll remember. And you will all remember how Barry Goldwater lost his election with that devastating ad of the little girl picking the dandelion, you know, they were daisies, the
daisies,
daisy petals. Yeah.
Of course, Barry Goldwater's opponent hadn't set the Middle East into war during the tenure of her Secretary of Stateship. So that made it that. So it would have been a little tougher for Johnson back in those days.
You believe that was all Hillary Clinton's fault, Rich?
I think that Hillary Clinton and first of all, I think it was a well-read speech. I think she modulated was the right word and the right tone. I think she read it well, and I think she does think that's what foreign policy is. She thinks the biggest foreign threat is Donald Trump. You know, and she's shifting away from ISIS and Putin and, and the national debt and all the things that she's...
I don't know that she's shifting away as much as that she's saying that one person is more qualified than the other to deal with those situations.
Right, but as so often happens with Hillary, at some point she's going to have to confront the facts. And the facts were that when she was Secretary of State, there was the biggest changeover of power in the Middle East in, I don't know, hundreds of years. And right now, the so-called Arab Spring that she helped at least plan the U.S. response to, go down the list. You know, Libya, failed state. Yemen, failed state. Syria, 6.5 million internally displaced people, 400,000 dead in the civil war. Israel, stripped of its power. Iran, the new ascendant power with a nuclear program that we have given to them. I think when she gets confronted with the facts, she's going to have some difficulties. And by the way, I think that the Bernie supporters are going to feel similarly about that.
Well, Rich, when you say we gave them the nuclear power, that really is disingenuous of you, I think.
In what way, Alan?
I mean, we didn't give them anything. In fact, we solved the problem and put off, maybe for the future, their ascendancy into the nuclear bomb-making threat that they were offering.
We removed any inspection regime in their military facilities and have allowed them the untrammeled right to spin their centrifuges, which we allowed them to upgrade far beyond the ones that they had before, with the $150 billion, by the way, that we are working so hard to release for them.
That is certainly not my understanding, number one. And number two, and I think we have to be careful with the facts here. Number two, it is very important, if you look at it, that we have a humongous ability to find things out. So don't tell me we don't know if they're violating what our understanding is, because I'm sure we do.
Also, in the coverage of this speech, I saw more Republicans and conservatives say that they were that those who are still holding out, and we'll get to the Paul Ryan story in a few moments, but for those who are still holding out and not endorsing Donald Trump, that a lot of the concern in endorsing him as their conservative and Republican candidate is because of his foreign policy, and that many would feel to be closer aligned to Hillary Clinton and to what she was saying, that this was a speech that could have been given by a Republican or a Democrat, that was more down the road or middle of the road, excuse me, than anything that that has been given by Trump in the past as far as foreign policy.
I guess what I'm wondering about the things that you said, Rich, is like, is there no historical causality for context of all the things that you mentioned did happen during a certain time frame? Did the things that happened in the 8 years prior have any bearing on the situation
in
that region? Perhaps you would argue that if there had been a Republican in for the last 8 years as opposed to President Obama, different decisions might have been made around the context that already existed or where it was on day one of the 2009 presidential administration. But the thing is that I just feel like to say she caused this, she caused that, it was her. Yeah, I just, that's hard for me to.
I think that's giving the Secretary
around.
Of State more power on the on a global stage that it comes down to one human being.
Well, I certainly agree with Barbara. I certainly agree with your point that you can't escape the original Iraq War decision. You can't escape that as the catalyzing event. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not defending it, and my understanding is that Trump's not defending it. Hillary did vote in favor of it, but the okay, but I agree with you, Barbara. I think that I think that the Iraq invasion, the Iraq War, set a difficult stage, the Middle East has never been an easy place to make decisions. I think that Hillary was a big part of the decision, you know, kind of the pivot away from our traditional allies and the pivot towards Iran and more kind of the nation building, you know, the war that we declared in Libya, which we didn't call a war because there was no soldiers, there was just bombs. Apparently, that's okay. I think Libya was a terribly failed enterprise. I think Yemen, nobody could argue that was not a terribly failed enterprise. I think that Syria, maybe there was no good way of handling it, but they certainly mishandled it about as badly as you could have. I think she had part of those decisions.
Okay, but Rich, when she says he's not qualified to have, because of his persona, to have his finger on the button, that has nothing to do. You may be right. She may be more hawkish than a lot of us like. That doesn't mean that she isn't more qualified to be president and more prudent in the way in which she would exercise power. You want that guy with his finger on the button? That's outrageous.
I don't think his finger is going to be anywhere near the button. I think that he's made it clear. I think he's made it very clear that, and in fact, some of the flack he's gotten, and I'm not defending it, but I think some of the flack he's gotten from the far right has been that he's too isolationist, he's too non-interventionist in his views of the Middle East, that he's actually more moderate than they would like to see him.
Rich, it goes to character. This is a guy who explodes at anybody, a federal judge who is handling his case, or anybody else who gets in his way is seen as a terrible person and he wants to get back at them, and he makes it clear that he enjoys it. So, what, you think he won't do that with North Korea? You think he won't do that if he has his finger on the button? I don't trust him, and I don't think anybody else should either.
I'm sorry. Well, you should respond.
The
thing is, he has shown no qualities or characteristics that would indicate that he has any connection to something called rationality. He is irrational, and I mean, he's cagey, but the thing is, he's irrational and he feeds on and exploits people's irrational fears, attitudes, perspectives. So.
And I understand your concerns, your ideological concerns about Hillary Clinton. My question, though, is in regards to Donald Trump. When he gave a foreign policy speech, I think by most, if not all accounts, except for his own, of course, were that the speech had little depth. And also very little as far as it had great contradiction in it. In one page, he would say this, also written by three or four people and delivered perhaps not as well, to answer your earlier question. But my point to you is, doesn't that count for something? Doesn't the fact that you have a candidate who is saying, look, I was Secretary of State, I dealt with these issues, and I am more qualified than the person who is saying these things on Twitter is making statements regarding Putin, who's making statements about the leader in North Korea in positive whites, and that is irresponsible.
Look, I agree with you, and I agree with Barbara. If you do not trust the person to be in charge of the United States Armed Forces, then no policy or pragmatic argument is going to change that. So, if you just don't trust the person's character, then you should not vote for them. And I'm not advocating that you do. My point is, he hasn't actually been in that situation yet, and I feel like Hillary has been in that situation and has been found terribly wanting. I think that there's no question that if we sat down and had a quiz, I think she knows a lot more about foreign policy than he does. It was her job, right? I think she knows a lot more about the nuances of the various alliances. The problem is, every time she had a chance to use that knowledge, she participated in a series of decisions that was absolutely wrong. Now, if you think that he's just going to act irrationally and one day somebody's going to make fun of his hair and he's going to then declare nuclear war on North Korea, then you shouldn't vote for the guy. I agree with you.
That seems like that could happen.
Well, then if you think that, then that's fine. But then there's no sense in having a policy discussion because nothing's going to change that.
Whoa. What about you, Rich? If you have a choice between voting for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump based on their character, their penchant to use to fly off the handle, are you telling us you're going to vote for Donald Trump?
What you characterize as a penchant to fly off the handle, I think I see it as somewhat more staged than that. I don't know that I see it quite as organic. I think it's somewhat staged. And most importantly, I think it is in much, much smaller and less important contexts.
Really?
Yeah. I think flying off the handle when you're debating Lindsey Graham on something is a lot different than flying off the handle when you're conducting foreign policy.
All right. We have to take a break.
We're calling people names.
We're going to pause it. Okay. We'll pause it there. We'll get back to this. I think we have a lot more to discuss. We'll be right back after this short break. WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. As promised, we have a new lockbox total for you, and it's a darn good one. It is. We wanted to get over $350,000. Now, don't forget, we're trying to get to $400,000. Well, Alan was hoping we could do it by 10, right, Alan?
Right.
Okay. So
Alan's on tape delay.
But the point really is that we have to do it.
All right.
And we're not trying. We just have to.
All right. So we started off when we started the show at just 16 minutes ago. It was $348,000. It is now $352,398. There you go. So we are about $47,000 away from making our goal.
Wow.
Okay.
We got to go.
Everybody
go.
This is the whoosh.
Joe,
go ahead.
We just heard from a guy who said that he's been listening for 25 years. But since listening, in other words, here's a guy who is listening for 25 years, disturbed by the lack of conservative voices. And since Rich is on the air, he's going to give us some money. Well, that's good. So I expect him to go to WAMC.org. I don't like the fact that he's been listening for 25 years and riding on everybody else's shoulders. Yeah. But, okay, go to the
but he
go
made
to the
good
lockbox
on it.
Right now.
Right.
Well, no, not yet. Not yet. Talk is cheap.
Okay.
Okay, let's see it.
All right. So now we have a lot of letters over
we do.
Comments that have been made, both positive and negative to all parties involved. So let's get started on that.
Okay, Christopher says, your guest today, Rich, is blaming the wrong person in Libya, Yemen, etc. Think back. Clearly you guys can't remember the situation, but if the U.S. and European allies had not intervened in Libya to bring Gaddafi down, he would have massacred between 100,000 and 200,000 civilians in Benghazi. The failure lay with the president, who would not commit to some nation building in Libya, a place that was not a state, but more of a medieval kingdom with no institutions at all, run on tribal lines, left to its disintegrated into tribal chaos. You can't blame Hillary Clinton for that. Anytime, Rich, you want to get in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the French would argue that we went in there because they're afraid of their fuel supply lines being cut by activism in Libya, and that and they convinced Obama to go in and keep those lines open. I think that was openly discussed at the time.
Gary says, Rich's comments about Secretary Clinton being responsible for all the problems in the Mideast is wrong. There is no way that this country can or should have control events in this very troubled part of the world. Jim says, it's not fair. I think of a great comment to the conversation when you go to a break and Joe changes the topic. He didn't change the topic. Right on the topic. Okay.
We went to a break. We do have to do those. That's how we pay bills.
Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, look, there are always going to be people who, as my Aunt Ruth would say, who, okay, what a great choice we've got here.
We don't know what Aunt Ruth said. Go ahead.
No, that's what she would just trail off like that. That's what Aunt Ruth would say.
All right, Aunt Ruth?
You got it, Rich.
All right.
Yeah. What a great choice we've got here. Hillary has been involved, while Trump will be involved in numerous foreign policy blunders simply based on his current rhetoric and inability to compose himself at rallies. Voter turnout will be low and foreign casualties will be high, as will I, until about 2020.
Well, I do like that comment.
Barbara, you think voter turnout will be low?
In this election?
Yeah. Don't you feel like it'll be really high?
I have no idea. I would say I would tend toward high.
Right? Wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be high. It's gonna be
high. I
think
the only thing a lot of people are worrying about. Oh, sorry, Alan.
Emily speaking.
Yeah.
A lot of people are worried about, like, the Bernie supporters not coming out to support Hillary because the Bernie supporters are so against Hillary that they're not even going to come out. They're saying, well, I'm not going to vote for Trump. I'm not going to vote for Hillary. And people are very worried about that.
But I'm going to ask you, Barbara, aren't the Bernie supporters at some point, by the time we get done with the debates and things like that, they're going to look at each other and say, so by not voting for Hillary, we are in effect helping Trump. Can you see that?
I cannot speak for all the Bernie supporters.
I'm just saying, but what's the perspective on that? Don't you think at some point they have to?
Well, whenever I read an article about this, they always talk about the situation in 2008 when there were so many people who were very, very upset that Hillary did not get the nomination at that time, and that when it came to the election, it looked like most of those people, whatever they had said, came out for and voted for Obama.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the things I see. I don't think that you can compare that election to this one, though. Well, as far as, like, who the principals, you know, who the candidates.
Maybe in an odd way you can compare it, because and I could be wrong on this, but the positive power of Obama in 2008, brought a lot of people in. Don't you think maybe the negative of Trump in 16 could also bring those same people in?
Possibly, but the thing is, the shoe is kind of on the other foot. The candidate who had raised a huge amount of excitement, who had gotten people mobilized, who had never been mobilized before in 2008, was
true.
Obama.
That's true.
And the thing is, this time, the person who looks like she's definitely in line to get the nomination is a person who's not inspiring the excitement and the loyalty, if you see what I'm saying. So it's kind of different, you know. As I said, I can't speak for every Bernie supporter, only me.
I definitely have sorry, Alan.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard some things on both sides. The people who are like, a vote not for Hillary is a vote for Trump. But then there are still people on my Facebook who are saying, I would rather not vote than vote for Hildemort.
Nice.
Right.
Well, look, we do know young people are, as a group, largely for Bernie and not for Hillary. On the other hand, after having taught political science to young people for 40 years, I can tell you that, very often they don't fulfill the promise. They don't go and vote. So it's going to be interesting to see, Emily, if your group, if the people on your Facebook page will, in fact, come out and vote.
I hope they do, but at this point, I don't have a lot of faith in them. A lot of people are aware of this problem. They're saying, listen, you need to vote. But these are all people who are 16 and can't. So we have to look to the people who are, in college
18.
And have a lot of faith in them.
Rich says, Dan, sometimes I agree with you, sometimes I don't. Today I'm not buying your support of Trump as commander-in-chief. I think that deep down you dislike Donald Trump as much as Alan, parenthesis, and myself. To me, it sounds like you are so committed to having a Republican in the White House, you're holding your nose and trying to find something, anything positive to say about Trump. Kevin says,
"Oh, can we let? Alan. Can we have Rich respond to that? Because I feel that.
First of all, I think what I said was, if you don't trust the person who quote has their finger on the button, then don't vote for them. I totally agree with Barbara and what Joe are saying is if you don't trust that person's character, that's fine. And no amount of policy shifting is going to change that. I've seen Hillary in action.
But to the point of that letter being that, and we have another one that's saying, what would you say about Trump if his label was a Democrat and not Republican and was saying exactly what he's saying now?
I think he'd be, I think he'd be the same. I think he'd be coming across the same way. Who would be on the other side? If it was say Ted Cruz on the other side, I'd be listening to Trump more than I'd be listening to Ted Cruz. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Well, a lot of people are going to make up their mind. Eva just wrote us a note. I'm a Hillary voting Bernie supporter. Stop speculating in capital letters. Start considering data. And that's from Eve. Andrew says, make Rich a regular. Love hearing the conservative side. This radio station has just become my favorite to listen to between 9:15 and 10. You have my vote to make Rich a regular and make panel discussion for 2 hours.
Rich is a regular, by the way.
I'm not
every
very
Friday,
regular.
Right? Joe?
I'm a somewhat irregular.
Yeah,
regular.
He's here and he's been here twice a week for the last several weeks, and he is a regular. And we would have him on much more, but we can't afford him.
I feel like I'm the valuable sixth man off the bench.
What do you make? What do you make a minute?
What do you pay for my time for a minute? Just $7.
Okay, there you go.
That's way below the minimum wage. Way below the minimum wage. Oops.
So Paul says, first time writer because, quote, the Don is so intent on labeling opponents with unflattering names, that seems to serve him in a somewhat positive way. It strikes me that there is a moniker fit for him, and that is biblical as well as physical. Did what Moses see when he came down from the mountain with the tablets that the masses were worshiping resemble Donald Trump, the golden calf, the false god? Glenn says, Hillary for VP. Robert Sekulow says, I'm sorry for reading the last name. Why would someone choose the persona of an uninformed, thin-skinned bully when they're trying to convince them to vote for them for president? I would just point out, Robert, that is exactly why he and Hillary are neck and neck in this election. It isn't as if what he's been doing is not working for him. And I think a lot of us think that's what's so scary about all of this. Did Paul Ryan endorse Trump before or after Trump's Mexican judge fiasco? The fact that so many Republican leaders are willing to back such a seriously flawed Trump to the possible detriment of the American people just to remain in power is proof of the unprincipled selling out of the Republican Party. And Dan says, Rich, we did that one. And Judy says, good morning, roundtablers. As for the issue of how to handle the Bernie supporters who say they will sit out the election if their guy is not the Democratic candidate, I say call their bluff. Ask repeatedly if they want to help usher in an end of an era of xenophobia, knee-jerk militarism, misogyny, no legal abortions, and racism. They would live to regret their immature obstructionism after a first Trump administration, said Judy. And David said, Libya has the highest quality of life index in Africa until NATO's intervention.
All right. One more, Alan, and then we have to take a break, but go ahead.
Okay. Bobby says, okay, Hillary is wanting, according to Rich, but rationalizing Trump's current behavior and imagining his future behavior to one's liking is what people are doing to convince themselves that he is not who he is, a sociopathic, egocentric con man, and somehow, in the litany of her actions as Secretary of State, he included stripped Israel of powers, among others. When did that happen?
I have to say, with the insults, I have to say, it's interesting that nobody ever mentions racist and xenophobe when they're talking about him. It's, he's a bully. And
oh, actually, they just they just did.
Yeah. They mention that all the time.
I think in the letters, talking about the letters that were recently read.
Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, so let's take a break. We'll be back. We're watching the lockbox total. We're trying to get it. I would think we could get it to 360 by the time we go off the air here in about 15 minutes. No, we're not going off the air, but we're done with this hour. That would be great. So lockbox is WAMC.org, WAMC.org. The fund drive starts on Monday morning. We have $10,000 at stake that we need to make by 6 o'clock on Monday morning. WAMC.org. We'll return to this conversation after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire Highbridge Dental Implants. Doctors Klederman and Williams offering prosthetic and restorative options for complex dental problems with the Highbridge Full Mouth Restoration. BerkshireHighbridge.com. Unusual Wedding Rings and More, 137 North Street, downtown Pittsfield. Announcing their retirement and store closing after 36 years. Public and private showings open Tuesday through Saturday, 413-236-9300 for appointments. Adams Ferricker Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Trees, shrubs, blooming perennials, Adams-grown annuals and bedding plants, gardening supplies and advice, adamsfarms.com. And Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, presenting Jazz Institute concerts by Ron Carter, Golden Striker Trio, Bill Charlap Quintet, and the Skidmore Jazz Faculty, June 28th through July 7th, skidmore.edu/summer.
All right. When we last checked, the lockbox was at $352,398. It's now at $354,883. Pretty darn good. But we still have a long way to go. WAMC.org. Talk about why it's so important, Alan.
Well, I can only say you say pretty darn good. I'm scared to death. I really am. I mean, you know. We only have today, Saturday, and Sunday. And Saturday and Sunday are usually somewhat quiet days. So we got to do it now. If we could knock it down to 40,000 or 30,000 right now, we'd have a good chance. I'm very worried.
We are all worried. And whatever you can do right now, you can listen to us and make a lockbox contribution. WAMC.org.
Sure.
All right, we have a few moments left. Let's go on to some other topics. We'll do a lightning round. We haven't done one of those in a while. We'll do a lightning round and see what you think about different topics. So Paul Ryan did endorse Donald Trump yesterday, and he ended a month-long holdout by formally backing his party's presumptive presidential nominee. He penned a guest column for his hometown newspaper in which he trumpeted the controversial real estate mogul as someone who could support the speaker's conservative agenda. Meanwhile, in a...
So come on, Joe. What do you expect? He wants to run for president. If he doesn't support the presidential candidate, everybody knocks him out of the box and yells at him later on. He has to do it, and it's a very close election in both the Senate and the House. A lot of marginal districts. He had to do it.
So then in the Washington Post, there is the editorial that says, as Donald Trump was building a campaign on lies, bigotry, insults, fear-mongering, and unreason, a few Republican leaders of apparent principle offered some resistance. Foremost among them was House Speaker Paul Ryan. On Thursday, Mr. Ryan capitulated to ugliness. It was a sad day for the speaker, for his party, and for all Americans who hoped that some Republican leaders would have the fortitude to put principle over partisanship. Rich?
No choice. Yeah.
No, go ahead, Alan. You're about to say.
I don't think he had any choice. I don't think he had any choice. He had to do it. It's that simple. I said, why? You know, I mean, anybody sitting, putting themselves into his position knows he had to do it. If he didn't do it, can you imagine how many Republicans would be angry at him and voting Republicans for what he did?
He kind of, Barbara, they said that he endorsed. He, I don't, it, it, He, it's more like he said, I'm going to vote for him.
I see. Yeah, so you're making a distinction without a difference.
Well, I'm saying, it was very tepid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't waving the flag here.
He wasn't saying he's going to be stumping for going on the whistle stop tour through the Midwest or anything. And then there's the California poll, which I found to be interesting. This is, of course, there's a primary on June 6th, lest we forget.
Several, exactly.
But there is, was Montana, New Jersey, and California. Am I correct in that? All on Tuesday, June 6th. But the California...
7th.
I'm sorry, June 7th. June 6th is the fun drive, right. June 6th. Oh,
much more important.
That's the date much in my mind right now. So the poll that has been taken by the Los Angeles Times seems to be showing a fairly wide gap when you... the difference between eligible voters and likely voters. So the race in California is a dead heat among eligible primary voters, with Sanders and Clinton both at 44%. But Clinton has a lead with likely voters, 49% to 39%.
Right. Yeah, that was the point Emily was making.
Right.
That, you know, there's the support is there, but are they really going to turn out?
So what do you think? I mean, this has been Bernie Sanders' problem all along, hasn't it, of having the support, but who is actually going to go out and do it, right?
Well, in 10 years, those people who are there now might be for the more liberal candidate. But right now, if voting patterns hold up, it's going to be very difficult for Bernie to win there. Not only for any other reason except that Hillary's got the nomination, and an awful lot of people know that.
I was interested. Do they call them the cross tabs when you get into the you know, inner workings of the poll?
Yes.
I was interested to see some of those results of, like, who I'm so sorry, I can't recollect and give a good example. But when they looked at, you know, younger versus older, the fact that he seemed to be holding well with people of color in the state, doing some things or having some favorables that were different from other places with, for example, large people of color populations.
Right. That would represent a shift in his backing, wouldn't it? Or just an increase in the backing from that community.
Right. Yeah. And as I said, I'm sorry I don't have it so I can quote it and let people know. But they can find that article at the Los Angeles Times.
Right. In the Los Angeles Times and their poll. And I believe the, let me find this real quick. It's the USC Dornsife Los Angeles Times, but if you go to the USC website, they have the complete breakdown of numbers and have everything laid out there. Alan, with that said, do you think this is going to be, people are saying it could be a very, very close race in California. Do you think it will be, or when we look at these numbers, think that
I'm going to play it safe, Joe. It's going to be a very close election in California.
Okay. It's not winner take all anyway, though, right? I mean, if it's close, they split some of the delegates, and she'll get more supers right.
And she'll win in New Jersey. She'll win in New Jersey. She needed, the last time I looked, she needed 65 more delegates to have the nomination,
right. So,
and that's a piece of cake.
So she goes over the top at the end. I don't mean at the end of the day. At the end of June 7th, she goes over the top.
And people are saying she'll be over the top before the California's counted because of the time difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the question,
which could hurt her in California, right?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alan.
I don't know. There's a lot of protest vote out there. In other words, people know Hillary's going to have the nomination. But the Bernieites want to make a point, and that is one of the things that is so dangerous for Hillary. If Bernie doesn't come over for Hillary, I have to tell you, I fear that he'll be throwing the election to Trump.
Well, the other thing, too, is that we have to watch and see exactly what you say of, and I think one of you were getting to this point of how soon after she hits the magic number will Bernie step in and say, okay, this is what. Either we're gonna fight this still. I mean, yesterday he said we have the money, we're going to fight this to the convention. Once she has it, I don't know what you fight, right?
Well, that superdelegate, you know, strategy.
Oh, wait, are you saying you don't think, I think there's no chance Bernie doesn't go to the convention. Right? I
mean, no, he goes to the convention.
Right? Right?
He goes to the convention.
He goes to the convention, but is he going to fight it?
Yeah.
Wait, but.
Yeah,
wait.
What he does in the convention is the issue.
Okay, but I mean, on June 7th.
We're all for Hillary.
Right. He's not going to say that on June 7th.
I don't think so.
Right? He's not going to capitulate on June 7th.
Right.
Doesn't seem like
it. I agree.
Why would he? Why would you give away all that leverage?
Because you might be afraid of the alternative, so. So I'd be concerned about the alternative.
Exactly.
But that doesn't seem to be in his character.
Well, All right, we have 30 seconds. I just want to quickly say that the lockbox is currently over $356,000. So that is that's about $10,000 more than we had when we started the show. So that was worth something.
I'm
wasn't
scared.
It?
Rough, right.
Roughly
really
what
scared.
It cost me to be on the show.
I'm really scared.
So it's a wash, huh?
Alan is scared. Don't make him scared. For goodness sakes, do it for Alan. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Alan, rest up. We will see you bright and early on Monday morning for the fun drive. Thank you very much.
Will do.
All
okay,
right.
Chief.
Rich Honan and Barbara Smith, hopefully we'll see you both back here Friday if the fun drive is over. If not, we'll see you back when we're all done.
Very good.
Emily, very nice to have you here. Thank you for being with us as
Thank
well.
Thank you for having me.
Love having you as always. We will be back with more Roundtable after this.